be in 2 John chapter tonight, 2 John. Second John, verses 8 and 9. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. You have told us that it pleased you that in him, your Son, should all the fullness of the Godhead dwell, and that you are glorified as we honor the Son, even as we honor the Father. And so, God, we believe you, and we believe your word, and we worship our Lord and our Savior. Father, I ask you to fill me with your Spirit tonight in preaching and teaching the Word of God. Dear God, I pray that you would edify the church by your Spirit and by your blessed Word, Heavenly Father. I pray for my dear wife in the nursery with Julia. Bless her time there and watch over her, dear God. I thank you for the services this morning, how you ministered to the church, to the children's Sunday school hour, the adult Sunday school hour, the morning worship service. We thank you for each one who came. And dear God, might our hearts be tuned to sing thy praise. Might our hearts learn the true riches and embrace them, Heavenly Father, not just looking forward to them in the next life, but embrace the true riches even now and to live for them in a way that would be worthy of being called a Christian, one of your children. And Father, we thank you for your great love to us. May you kindle our love to you, dear God, that we may love you and we may love others, we may love one another, and minister in a way that would evidence that. Please help us in that, dear God, we pray. And be with each one. Those who could not be here tonight, help them, each one. Bless those struggling. Give grace in every trial, as your word promises. And Father, we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right, we're continuing our look at some verses that people use to say that you can lose your salvation. I was kind of surprised at this one. but maybe we'll see why as we go along. So they've used this verse to say that someone can lose their salvation. Remember, I looked up a website and they had to put the question out there, can a Christian lose their salvation? And they said, certainly they can, just look up these verses. And they gave. So we've been going through them one at a time, and we're on the next to the last one here. This is 2 John 1, 8 and 9. And by the way, they just, again, swooped in there, grabbed the verse. They didn't explain why that verse means you can lose your salvation, but just that here's one of them right here. And we'll have to try to kind of read their mind as far as their interpretation, since they didn't tell us. They just said these verses teach you can lose your salvation. So we'll look at what they may be thinking there, and we'll look also at what the context always actually teaches. Context always gets the false teachers. and we can be thankful for that. All right, lose your salvation interpretation. Well, they say these two verses do teach that. So let's kind of wonder what they mean, since they weren't specific on that. Look to yourselves, we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. I guess they're looking at salvation as a reward that you can lose. I mean, I'm just have to give my best guess here. Perhaps we're looking at it that way. The next verse says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So I'm going to assume that they mean, if they're saying you can lose your salvation, that if you abide in the doctrine of Christ, in other words, you hear how Christ teaches you ought to live, and you abide in that, you follow him, as long as you abide in the doctrine of Christ and follow him, then apparently you have God, you have and the Son. But if you don't abide in the doctrine of Christ and you don't follow him, I'm having to assume this, then apparently you're not abiding in the doctrine of Christ, and now you don't have the Father or the Son. So that's how you lose your salvation. I don't know how else they would get that out of the passage there. So that's what they're trying to say. All right. Well, first of all, we agree that believers ought to walk with God, and we do believe that. We do certainly teach that, abide in the doctrine of Christ. Every believer should live according to the teachings of Christ. And we've seen in previous studies that there are rewards in this life and the next life for every believer who lives a godly life. The Bible clearly teaches that. In 1 John 4 and verse 8, First Timothy 4:8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So, living a godly life, following Jesus Christ, benefits you now, and it benefits you in heaven. The Bible clearly teaches that. We've also learned that there are chastisements in this life and loss of rewards in the next life for believers who do not walk in the will of God. We've learned that. And we've learned that the chastisement from God for disobedient believers can be as severe as physical death in this life. The Bible clearly teaches that. Somebody get me a glass of water. Boy, my mouth just dried it, please. Thank you, Brother Charles. But dance again. It can be as severe as even physical death. Remember, we talked about the one, thank you, Brother Dennis, who was removed from the church. Paul said, remove him from the church. He said, deliver him unto Satan, kick him out of the church. He wouldn't be under the influence of the church. For the what? Destruction of the flesh, that's physical death. The spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. We saw that. And so we know the Bible teaches that. But let's look into what God is actually showing us here. Here's the thing about these false doctrines. When you teach something, when you pull something out of context and say, there, this teaches you can lose your salvation. Not only have you taught a false doctrine, now you've missed what it actually does teach. You've mixed an actual truth that we believers are supposed to apply to our lives. So you've done two things. You've lied, you preached false doctrine against God, and you've missed what God did have for you. And what God did have for the believer or the church. And we'll see that here as we go through this. So abiding in the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ can mean a couple of things. That word of can mean a lot of things, doesn't it? Son of God. That means he is the son, the son from God. It can mean from. But the doctrine of Christ can mean the doctrine which Jesus taught, the doctrine which comes from Christ, how we ought to live. The doctrine of Christ would be what? Anything that Jesus taught. Doctrine simply means teaching. So it could mean anything that Jesus taught. So the doctrine of Christ could be that. Now, the of can also mean about. Can also mean about. The doctrine of Christ can mean the teaching about Jesus Christ. And that would include anything Jesus taught about himself and anything Scripture teaches about him. The person of Christ, who he is, and the work that he's done. So it could mean the teaching that is about Jesus Christ. It could mean either one of those things. Now, if the false teachers would have gone just one verse earlier in the passage, we'd have figured out which one of those it is. Look at verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who what? Confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. We're talking about teachings about Christ. There are some deceivers even in John's time. It's a couple decades perhaps after the other gospel writers wrote. But already, even while John's still alive, and he tells us what they're teaching, he says, they confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. See, what is our confession? That Jesus Christ is Lord, right? That's what we confess. Well, they confess not that Jesus Christ come in the flesh. What were they saying? Even in John, even when there were still, John had dinner with them. John leaned on Jesus at dinner. And here's what they were teaching. Well, the Christ, the Holy One, was sent to us in the world, but he wasn't really in the flesh. It just seemed to his apostles like he was a person. Because in their human reasoning, the Spirit of God, the Holy One, the Christ, could not die. He's God, and so he could not die. So the Spirit maybe left him when he was on the cross, and he was with him when he was there. But flesh and spirit, flesh is sinful, and spirit is holy, and so the two can't come together. So he was there in spirit, and he only appeared to be in a body. That's what they were teaching. That's what he very plainly says here in verse 7. They're saying, we don't believe that Jesus came in the flesh, bodily. Oh, now they profess to be Christians. They weren't among the Judaizers who were saying you got to do works to get saved. They were saying, we just believe that Jesus came in the Spirit. And he just appeared to be in a body. By the way, that's very New Age. That's going on right now today. You have the New Age movement using the term the Christ. The Christ is, in a sense, your higher power. Whatever is your higher power, that's the Christ. Whatever thing connects you to God, that's your Christ. Well, that may be your Christ. That's not the Bible's Christ. Amen? And the New Age uses that kind of teaching. That teaching has continued until now. And it was in John's day. And he said, what did he say about that teaching? This is a deceiver and what? An antichrist. This is a serious false doctrine. So he is referring to the doctrine, the teaching that is about who Christ is. And if you look a little further, we'd see that also, look just past the verses that they gave us in verse 10. If there come any unto you, what? And bring not this doctrine, what? The right doctrine of Christ. Receive not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that bid him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. The context clearly before and after, he is talking about the teaching about Christ. About Christ. If you don't abide in the right teaching about Christ, you don't have God. He says in the verses 8 and 9 here, if you transgress and abide not in the doctrine of Christ, he hath not God. He that abide the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If you get the teaching that the Bible says about Jesus Christ, and you believe in him, you have both the Father and the Son. If you get the teaching in the Bible about Jesus Christ, who he is and what work he did, you get that wrong, you have neither the Father nor the Son. You are not born again. What John is telling these people here, if you are teaching that Jesus Christ did not come in a body, listen, you are not born again. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And we're going to see that. This is why, with John facing this false doctrine, it shed some light on some things he shared earlier. They're not born again. We'll get there. I'm getting ahead of myself. Why? Because Jesus didn't come in a body. Listen, they don't believe the gospel. Don't you believe the gospel to be saved? Well, let's consider the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which you also received, how that Christ died. Now, folks, how did he do that if he didn't come in a body? And it doesn't say how Jesus died. It says how Christ died. You see, he didn't cease to be the Christ when he died. He was Jesus the Christ when he died. He was the anointed one when he died. God said in the book of Acts that he purchased the church with his own blood. He was still God when he died. He was still fully anointed and all the fullness of the Godhead bodily when he died. Explain that further, preacher. Don't think I can. I just believe it because the Bible teaches it. So, he died for our sins. How? According to the Scriptures. I'm just telling you the gospel. And it goes on and says, and how was that? In a body on a cross. That's what the Scriptures say. This is the gospel. If you don't believe the gospel, folks, you can't be saved. All right? That's what the Bible said. So he goes on, he says, look at verse 4 in 1 Corinthians 15, the gospel. And he was buried, and he rose again the third day. How? According to the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures. And how was that? Oh, remember? He came out in a body, didn't he? He was seen after resurrection. In 1 John, now John is fighting this false doctrine. And as you consider this, it'll shed more light on what he says in 1 John 1:1. Go back to 1 John 1:1. 1 John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, oh yeah, they saw him, but it just looked like he was in a body, with our eyes, which we have looked upon, oh, they saw him, but it seemed like he was in a body. And what's he say? And our hands have handled of the word of life. No, he was in a body. And they communed with him. He was in a body. For the life which is manifested, we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which is with the Father and was manifested unto us. The eternal life with the Father came here in a body. By the way, he died on the cross in a body, and he rose again in a body, and he's coming back in a body, folks. And if you don't believe in that Christ came in a body, he rose in a body, according to the Bible, you are not born again. You are not born again. And that's simply what Paul says. You don't believe that doctrine. You have he that abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. That's what he's saying right there. But you get that right, that Christ did come in a body. He was God in the flesh. He did die for us and rise again. Then the Bible says, he that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. You're saved when you believe the gospel. So he's very clear about that. That prevalence, that teaching had gone about there. Luke 24:39, Jesus said, "Behold, my hands and my feet; that is, I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. I'm right here. And by the way, you can handle me." Touch me, give me a piece of fish to eat. He was in a body. And so we believe that. Anyone who doesn't believe it does not believe the gospel. And so we see that. By the way, salvation comes how? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Since salvation comes solely by faith in Christ alone, solely by belief, folks, it is of utmost importance what you believe. It is because it is what we believe about Jesus Christ and what he's done and who he is, what we believe and place our trust in, that determines whether or not we die and go to heaven or we die and go to hell. And it is that only. So it is of utmost importance that we believe what the Bible says about that. That's why we encourage this lady. She was close. She says, I believe in Jesus, and I believe in Buddha too. He said, well, you're close, but you're going to miss it. Because you need to not believe in Buddha, and you need to believe in Jesus. Because that's what the Bible teaches. By the way, if he didn't come in the body, what happened to your sins? The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins, where? In his own body on a tree. If he didn't come in the body, folks, he didn't take your sins away. In his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. By the way, those stripes were put into his body, amen? And healed of our sin. And by the way, if he didn't come in a body, How could this be true? Hebrews 4:15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. How did he do that without being in a body? No, he was certainly in a body. See, this teaching has to do really with the deity of Christ, that he came as God in the flesh, and he in the body, God in the flesh. He died as God in the flesh. He rose again as God in the flesh. And so we see that, and we believe that. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, what? But by me. And so Matthew Henry's commentary on this verse was, the deceiver and his deceit are described. He brings some error concerning the person or office of the Lord Jesus. Such a one is the deceiver and an antichrist. Yes, you have to have the person of Christ right. Now, I was thinking about that, the deity of Christ. There's a difference between not knowing things and denying things and teaching something else. I've mentioned to some people in here before, I didn't really know about the Trinity when I got saved, but I hadn't denied it. What I believed was, well, Jesus is the Son of God, and he's perfect. And by the way, he can forgive my sins. I had no problem with that. And not knowing it, what I was saying was, I believe in the Trinity. You know why? Because I believed that. And then as I read my Bible, I thought, oh, only God can forgive sins. Oh, well, he must be God. You see, I didn't have a problem with that. You see, I didn't know. I wasn't denying. I just didn't know all that. You see what I'm saying? But in a sense, without knowing it, I was believing it. Because I believe Christ could forgive my sins when only God could forgive sins. It was just very edifying to find out that he was godly. God in all his fullness later, you know. Not that I had ever denied it when he saved me. So those things, maybe, you know, that point of salvation the Bible talks about in John, the wind bloweth where it listeth, you hear the sound thereof, but you can't not tell whence it cometh, whither it goeth. We try to get too specific in those areas. A lot of it's that God hasn't revealed. We just know it's by faith that we're saved, amen. We trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, and then we're born again. The Spirit comes in our hearts, and we go on from there. All right, and then I didn't know if I'd have time to get to this one tonight, but let's see, I think that I will. Actually, I think maybe I'll read you a missionary letter and update you on some that have come through, and I'll get this other one later. Amen. All right, so... Remember the Hiltabiddles and their family? Romania? All right, this is their missionary letter in April, the latest one I have. And they write, we trust this letter finds you doing well and enjoying the many blessings that God has given to us. They're in Romania now, by the way. Throughout my life, I've heard people say how blessed we are. Growing up, I was not able to fully appreciate or understand the significance of that statement. However, my recent trip in Uganda has given me a clearer understanding of how good we have it and how good God has been to us. Let me say, we are a blessed people. Our trip in Uganda went very well. Never before had I seen so many motorcycles. They're everywhere and are a main source of transportation. Until Uganda, I'd never seen five people on one motorcycle. Until we went to Japan, we never saw pizza delivery on motorcycles and bicycles, I guess. And never saw five people on one motorcycle before then. I never went from meeting to meeting on the back of a motorcycle. I'd never seen a taxi bus with chickens, turkeys, and other animals in the back or on the roof. It was strange to be so far from civilization, a place that felt like it was in the middle of nowhere, and yet have 40 to 50 men show up to hear God's word. Amen. By the way, some of the countries like that now are sending missionaries here. They're doing that now. And by the way, we need it. We need it. Sad to say. Goes on to say, to see the hunger for God's word, to see men sit for hours and listen to the preaching of the word of God, to see so many people with very little of this world's goods, and yet they were always smiling. It was very different to see a people, a culture which live in very primitive conditions. However, I noticed that in their primitive conditions, in their poverty, it has created great ingenuity among them. Needless to say, my experience was certainly a unique one, but a very good one. My brother and I went out preaching together, and my dad and another man from our home church went together. In all, we were in four different locations. Each meeting went very well and was well attended. In our first meeting, we had around 60 men the first day and around 40 the next. In our next meeting, the place, we had around 20 to 25 men and several women and children come. In both places, the gospel was preached, and many people responded to the invitation, Amen. And salvation, which Christ offers freely to all. In the first location, 9 people were dealt with, and in the second location, 8 people were dealt with. It is our hope and prayer that each decision was true and sincere, and we trust that God will help them to grow in faith and in the understanding of the Scriptures. The preachers and pastors were helped and encouraged. The people were saved. We made it back to our home safe and sound. Thank you for your prayers during our trip. My wife worked hard to put together baskets of fruit, cookies, and candy for every family in the church here, and includes Kluj, and the church in San Mahai for Resurrection Sunday. The services on that day went well. During April, we were able to see a few visitors come also. It was great to have my brother and his family here in Romania with us. I enjoyed preaching with him at our church in Cluj, the church in San Mahai. They were able to see a little of the country and get a small taste of life here. Very soon, my parents will be coming to be with us for a couple of weeks. Amen. The kids are very excited to see Grandma and Grandpa again. The truth is, we are all excited about their coming and the opportunity to share with them the place where God has called us to. Amen. Let's pray for the Hiltabiddles tonight, and maybe we'll be done a little bit early. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your blessings and goodness. I thank you for getting the Hiltabiddles to the field. What a blessed family and blessed couple they are. Now with these 5 dear children and on the field. And Father, serving you in a place where seeing many folks around them that have very little of this world's good. But we know and understand, even as we read our own Bibles, that you knew what riches could do. You warned Israel to watch out when they became wealthy, lest they would forget. And God, I'm afraid that's happened to many in our country. It's happened to many Christians and churches today. Dear God, many have forgotten your callings upon their life. They've forgotten the true riches. They've forgotten the blesser for the blessings. And God, I thank you for all the blessings that we do have. But I pray, dear God, that we would never forget our salvation, that we would never forget your sufferings, that we would never forget that the true riches is your Holy Spirit in our heart. It's the preserved and inspired Word of God that we have to read every day. It's the souls of men that you died for to save, that they might also be with you in heaven one day. It's the truth about Jesus Christ, your Son, the blessed Spirit that Christ sends from heaven into the believer's heart the moment that he trusts in Christ for salvation. It's your promises to your children, dear God, that one day we'll be with you. Father, these things are the true riches, the opportunity to be ambassadors for you. To be the new creatures, to live victoriously over sin, dear God. All these things are things that are not material. They're things that money can't buy. They're things that transcend this life and yet make this life so blessed as well. Well, Father, help us never to forget. I do thank you for this church. And dear God, I thank you for these that have given to missions these years. Father, we've been connected with our missionaries for so long that we're seeing them go through these major phases of life now, their children growing up and moving away and going to their own mission field perhaps, or to another calling in life, even if it's not full-time service. Whatever you would have for them is the ultimate calling. And yet they're going through the phases of life, and many of them. Help us to remember that in prayer. As we see that, we think about the Kleins now. Most of their kids have moved away from them, and the Herzls, their kids are moving away. The Weimers' kids are getting to the place where some of them will be moving out soon. And dear God, it's hard sometimes to go through that. And the devil is always ready to during hard times to try and get us to make a wrong turn, to get our eyes off you, to lose hope in some way. But God, might we learn to be quick to pray, like you told us, like you taught us. Might we learn to be instant in prayer and not be discouraged. Might we pray for our missionaries. Help them, God, and bless them and give them souls. We thank you to read about the souls that were saved in the revival meetings in Uganda, dear God. What a blessing. We do pray that these decisions were sincere. We do pray, dear God, that they would grow. You continue to bless them and keep them safe there. Bless the Hiltabiddles as their parents would travel over there. Give them a safe journey over there, Lord, if you tarry, in a blessed time of reunion together with the grandkids and with the kids. And Father, and just bless that time together. Father, help us this week, should you tarry, to glorify your name. Help us to have, during the day, one ear listening for the trumpet, God. And to be praying for those that are around us, and to know that, Father, it's just been an encouragement to me in my own life recently that in visitation and sharing with others, dear God, all we're doing is going to tell somebody you love them. That's all we're doing. And that's all you want us to do is go tell somebody that you love them. Go tell them, Lord, what you did for them, if they'll let you. And Father, I thank you for every opportunity that you give to do that. And Father, help us each to do that, be it passing out a tract, a kind deed, giving the gospel message, Heavenly Father, as you give opportunity, and we pray you would. And Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen.